In the 126 Block Talks, we speak with Sanjeev Berari, founder and CBO at Zonix, formerly known as Tassets, who explains how to apply first principles in RWA tokenization. I'm your host, Mauricio Magaldi, and this is Block Drops, your weekly digest on blockchain for business. These news are not a form of endorsement, sponsorship, or encouragement for consumption, and are meant for educational purposes only. All right, everybody, I'm here with Sanjeev Berari, who's going to tell us who he is and what he does with blockchain. Welcome to Block Talks, Sanjeev. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much, Marcio. So let me explain you. First of all, let me introduce you about myself. So my name is Sanjeev Berari. I'm based out of Bay Area in California, and I've been in the digital asset space since 2017. And the company where we founded, which we co-founded with my other, founder and friend is Prashant Kalangi. The name of the company is Tassets, which is tokenization of assets. So we started working on it in 2017, and we built the infrastructure for future of finance. So what we do is we basically tokenize any real world assets by using the tech infrastructure what we built over the last 6 years. So that's basically what we do. But I'm happy to introduce you more about to go in depth in terms of why the real world applications are being used and how it can be used.
I love use cases and I love real world applications. But before we go into that, would you mind telling us a little bit more about your journey? Because most of the professionals in this space are coming from other walks of life. So how did you find digital assets, blockchain, and when do you know that it clicked for you? Like, oh, I want to do this.
So my journey started in an IT company way back. I worked with different geographies, different countries. I worked in India. I worked in Singapore. I lived in Singapore. I worked and lived in Dubai, Kuwait, Bahrain, and then moved and settled now back in the U.S. right now in the U.S. So I started working in the digital asset space since 2017. The reason I've come from an investment management background, I worked with some of the big companies back in Dubai. I used to manage certain royal family's funds as well as a portfolio, and I've come from that investment management and a tech background. Not too much of a tech, but more of a business and an investment management background. So I was presenting in one of the real estate station in 2017, and I was talking about how the investment management portfolio management works, why it cannot be democratized or fractionalized for common people to have, a share in something which is a Champs-Élysées, or probably one of the retail outlet in Champs-Élysées, right? They can actually own by paying $10,000, right? And instead of the big investors, they own the whole, the whole piece of it. So it started, I was talking to, about this in the conference, and my friend Prashant, he met me after my session, and he told me, "Hey, what you've talked about, I'm already working on it. There's a white paper for a cryptocurrency called Bitcoin. I'm going through it, and there's a technology called blockchain can actually be used to what you just said. And I've already started working on it. Do you want to join this?" So this is how it actually triggered, and we started and he was in Texas, and I went to Texas for that session, and then we started interacting more on how do we build this. And this is how we actually my first exposure to the space in digital asset space in working on blockchain infrastructure company called Tassets.
It's remarkable how many other people that have been in other industries have had this epiphany with the Bitcoin white paper. What more specifically attracted you to Bitcoin when you read that the first time? What was the thing that, because there's a lot in that paper to unpack. What was the one thing that kind of hooked you up?
I mean, if you think about it, right? I mean, blockchain, if you see, I mean, it's more of a decentralized the space in terms of how do we see this whole space moving in a different parts of the world. For me, the biggest thing which I could attract with me, and when I've actually read that, along with of course Prashant, is that how the real world, ownership of an asset can actually be, put it on chain, and it can actually give a fractional ownership, efficiency in reducing cost, enhance liquidity, global accessibility, regulatory compliance, enhance portfolio diversification. All that is something which is fascinating for me to, have this in only using one application, which is blockchain, right? And that is exactly what it triggers me to get into the next level of, how do we build this for any asset class for that matter? Like, as I said, right? I mean, me being sitting in here, if I have $100,000, I don't want to put this $100,000 in only one bonds. I would like to put like $10,000 in Burj Khalifa, owning a share of $10,000 in Burj Khalifa, or $10,000 in Burj, in a Champs-Élysées, or, a Salesforce Towers in San Francisco, where I can own by paying $10,000. And that is something which actually triggers me to, kind of get into the next level of, hey, how do we build this? I come from a portfolio management background. I know exactly how it works. So if the technology comes together, we can actually, kind of marry with this and then build something which is extremely real, and it could actually literally democratize this whole future of finance.
I think that's one strong word of being thrown around in the blockchain circles about democratization of finance. Now, 2017, when you guys founded Tassets, right, there was no conversation about RWA or real world asset tokenization back in 2017. How did you guys kind of predict this thing, like, 7 years ago? What was the motivation that kind of put you in such a predictive nature of the business?
To be very honest, at that point of time, it was not actually real world asset as a name of that particular thought which we were building. We were actually building more of a fractionalization of commercial real estate as a use case. I mean, it was not something which is like real world asset or tokenization. We never even thought about tokenization as a word. It eventually evolved, how the institution has started adopting this space. When we started talking about it, we started only talking about, because Prashant was already working on it. So he said, okay, hey, listen, I mean, there is this, we can build the technology, right? And how do we get the use case? Literally, I mean, way back, I started talking to one of the, it took me 3.5 years to get my first client. And I don't have a shame to say that. The reason to that is because even back then, the regulators were not aware how the securities of a real world asset can actually be on chain. And what kind of, exemptions which we should have. And they were not prepared. Even we were not prepared. And that's one of the reasons that it took us long to kind of understand how do we, kind of work in this space. But the original idea is to take the commercial real estate asset, fractionalize it, and those shares can be actually worked on chain as a token. That's what it is.
Got it. So you went kind of from first principles, not like we see today where, there is a blockchain, there is a token, let's put another type of asset on the token and make sure that someone can buy that thing. So you guys kind of walked like from the concept of fractional ownership towards, then maybe that's the technology. I love that journey for you, because one of the topics, recurring topics for the block drops where we talk about use cases is that most of the use cases that are flimsy, that are fragile in terms of conceptualization, are the ones that started with the technology. The stronger use cases are the ones that started with the real problem that blockchains could uniquely solve. So you started off with fractionalization, which is really great start. When you got your first client, what was the use case? Was that still fractionalization? And what are the other use cases you guys have developed ever since?
Yeah, it's a very, very good question. And let me just correct, a few things which we just said earlier, right? So the ideation of this particular concept started, within me and Prashant is 2017. With Prashant is 2016. The formation of our company actually started, it happened in 2021, last quarter. Okay. Having said that, let me explain you how we were. We both were building the tech in between us. We both were actually trying to get the first use case, because we wanted to actually validate what we built with the first paid use case. And that's one of the reasons that, it took me 3.5 years to get Bay Area based. There's a now explaining you about what exactly the use case was. So there's a Bay Area based company called Martel Turnkey, Martel Invest. They are basically, you know, in real estate. They have, they manage single family homes, around 710 single family homes in different cities in the US. So they, the single family homes they manage, they rent them, they buy them, they buy the rundown homes, they put some amount and they redo them. So they are flippers, basically. They always want a cash. They always want a cash to buy these hotel, buy these, you know, single family homes, renovate them and sell them for a profit. And they also manage this single family homes as well. I was talking to this guy for almost, you know, 3.5 years. And I told him, hey, why don't you create a rental portfolio of $50 million on chain? You tokenize them. You already have syndication. You already have, you know, LPs. Why don't you convert their interest on chain? You give, you tell them whatever you already are been established in giving them some good returns on your rental portfolio. So you create a $50 million Reg D506C offering. There is an exemption in SEC here because these are securities. So you actually offer this $50 million Reg D506C. You tokenize this fund and you issue the tokens to the accredited investors. So this is exactly how we started talking about it. And 2021, last quarter in December, he convinced and he put this $50 million, you know, first use case of rental portfolio on chain. He distributed almost, you know, $50 a token with a commitment of an appreciation of around 6.5% cash on cash and around 12% of an IRR for the token returns to the investors. And he launched that particular fund. That was our first use case. That how the, you know, the debt or a portfolio debt can actually be used to put it on chain, and how it democratized, and how, you know, the people can actually buy those for a very only $50 a token, right? That's basically how it grew. You know, the whole use case for, you know, for us to get our validation done for our technology.
One thing that I also love about this use case is that you guys didn't try and go full degen. I think you guys went to, you know, kind of try and in the first use case mimic what would happen off chain, but on chain with the same players, but still able to prove that it's achievable to be doing that in the first use case. Now, I'm sure you've evolved from that on. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what types of use cases you tackled after and what were the lessons learned as you guys developed those other use cases?
Oh, fast forward 2023 December, 2022, 2021 December till 2024. We've done almost close to around 7 use cases. And those 7 use cases consist of different you know, industry use cases. Now let me explain you what all those use cases for. So we have done commercial real estate debt on chain. We have done commercial real estate equity on chain. We have done actually a commercial real estate fund portfolio on chain. We have done almost close to a private equity for a, you know, a healthcare company, which is, you know, on chain. We are now, and what we are doing now is more fascinating because I'm literally putting one sports company minority share on chain. So think about it. Like there are a lot of these, you know, owners, they own a, you know, equity in a sports team, but they have minority shares. They don't, the team makes it big, but they don't get, you know, a liquidity. They don't get their share. You know, they just see the, you know, $5 million, $10 million increase to say $15 million or $20 million, but they don't get an exit. So what we're doing is we are actually putting that particular, you know, their ownership interest on chain so that when the team makes big, they can actually share, they can get their share and sell it to somebody else or transact to somebody else in tokens, which is, you know, how we can create a liquidity. So this is something which is interesting. Now I have one of the POC, which I'm working for, one of the biggest central bank for doing tokenization of bank deposits. This is another good use case. So, you know, central bank is doing a tokenization of bank deposits. So I see this as like, this whole market is, you know, is segmented in liquid assets and more illiquid assets. Liquid assets is like bank deposits, treasuries or banks' funds or bonds, because they are more liquid, you know, but still they can use it for a cross-border. They can use it for generating more liquidity. In the other side is illiquid assets like commercial real estate. A yacht can be put it on chain. An ownership of yacht can be put it on chain. Commercial real estate assets can be put it on chain. All this put together, we are doing extremely interesting use cases. Right now, my funnel for my the use cases is almost $10 billion of assets, and this $10 billion have come from different industry sectors. So there is one more very interesting use case which I wanted to share is invoice factoring. There's a big group in Atlanta in US. They are so invoice factoring is more that you know that there is a money is going to come, but before that money is going to come, they would like to raise capital because they know that in 40 to 50 days they're going to get money, right? So it's an invoice. It's a invoice factoring. So there are a lot of these. So what we're doing is we are interacting with more of domain experts in that particular industry, and we're sharing our infrastructure, what we built. And from there, they're actually giving us, their input that, oh, I can use this, in my use case, because I know that this is how it works.
Now, one thing that I'm frequently a critic of is tokenization for the sake of tokenization. And you touched on a point that to me is very important. If you can't find liquidity for the tokenized assets, then it's really hard to justify tokenizing anything at all, because then you're just digitally notarizing the asset to some extent. So what's your approach to the liquidity? Are you using stable coins? Are you partnering? You mentioned central banks. Are you partnering with central banks and exploring the use of, say, CBDCs for that settlement? What is the counterpart liquidity in the use cases that you guys implemented? And what do you think is trending in that direction?
By far, this is one of the best, kind of a section for me to speak, because, the reason to that is, so let me just go back, a little bit on in terms of why we are even using blockchain, and why the, hell, we are actually putting everything on chain today, right? Why we're tokenizing real world assets. The simple answer to that is only and only to create liquidity. That's all. Right now, today, we built a tokenization platform as a service, as a product which can enable you in 48 hours to put any asset class on chain and issue tokens in 48 hours, irrespective of, any chain. I mean, we can use EVM chain, we can use permissionless, we can use permission chain, any chain for that matter, because that's like that's the tech which we built. But after you issuing those tokens from the sale side, who is there from a buy side to create a liquidity? Where these tokens are floating in the market today, how the institutional investors are actually going to be buying that, inventory which you are putting it as a sale side. So this is the actual, finding what we are working on it today. And we are glad to tell you that today we worked on a platform where it connects a sale side and a buy side. And who are there on the buy side? Buy side could probably be private equity, venture capital, financial institutions, family offices, hedge funds, broker dealer networks, ATSs, decentralized exchanges. All of these people are on the buy side, would like to diversify their funds by investing in something which is digital assets backed with real world assets. Okay, now, how do we connect them? If you connect them with our product called Secure Connect, which is basically connecting a sale side and a buy side, you actually can create the liquidity. And that is exactly what we are, the problem which we all are facing today, that today you can tokenize it, but where is the liquidity? Where these tokens are trading? Where exactly, who is buying those tokens, right? And that is something which is what we are actually, it's a very big movement in this space, because, and we've learned like almost 7 years we've been in this space learning how we should create liquidity, because, okay, we've created a product could put the assets on chain, but we need now from the buy side, the whole buy side, to connect with the sale side to actually happen that particular liquidity in the market. Yes, and going back to, CBDC, stable coins, this is something which is an ongoing process, I must say this, because we are working with Ripple. Ripple is our partner. Ripple has actually hired us, to put the integration with XRPL on our TPaaS, which is our tokenization engine. And You know, XRP has been used by most of the banking, institutions over the all over the world, right? Most of the financial institutions are using XRPL. So if you think, and they are already working with most of the CBDC projects with almost 28 countries, and we are, because we are putting our tokenization engine on XRPL, and XRPL hired us, we basically are going to be using XRPL infrastructure and TPaaS, which is TACIT's infrastructure, to give tokenization as a solution and use the XRPL as a coin as well. I mean, if you think about it in that particular terms.
Interesting. And it's also interesting that the Ripple has been also working on a variety of CBDC use cases, which they have reported widely in the media. And that kind of presents itself as one potential means to liquidity, right? Which will be largely regulated, also largely subject to, questionable privacy considerations. But let's not get into that. Now, you raised the point when you talked about tokenized deposits. And to me, tokenized deposits, it's probably my current favorite candidate for ubiquitous liquidity in crypto as the industry matures. I'll explain my thinking. Stable coins are centrally issued by startups, by fintechs, and there is no actual regulatory framework that is firm yet. They are all playing around, and stable coins are necessarily a derivative equivalent of cash on-chain. CBDCs have, retail CBDCs more importantly, have this suspicion of state surveillance. So they're not exactly ideal because there is no anonymity. So it's not as a banknote. So there is this difference. Now, every one of us in the regulated financial world that are banked, we're used to dealing with the money that is issued and managed by our own banks. So the theory of this show about tokenized deposits is the next best thing other than the actual deposit that you're dealing with your app on your bank. But this is on-chain, issued by the bank one-to-one with the equivalent deposits that might as well be recorded on a CBDC, like a wholesale CBDC. So the whole tracing of where the money's coming from tends to be more transparent. And then because it's on chain, now you can actually use that for any other type of trading with other types of tokenized assets, which then reaches global liquidity for on-chain assets. So this is the theory. What has been your experience with tokenizing deposits?
Just like you, I really love this use case. Okay. And it's something which is one of our favorite project for us to kind of work on it. The only thing is, we are working on a POC for one of the biggest central bank, for doing the bank tokenization of bank deposits. Now, I do have my own, limitations of, to talk about this particular project, because it's right now under, we are just working on it, and we've already submitted all the paperwork in terms of, making this as a use case to happen on a POC level. But yes, I, with all due respect, in terms of this could really democratize and create a liquidity, because it's issued by central banks to the other banks, right? So that would actually give a huge uptake in terms of, liquidity, and at the same time, generating more, liquid from the, the tokenization of deposits from within the, the ecosystem of central bank. And that's something which is like, it's my experience. I would love to, share more on this, but at this point of time, I do have some certain limitations. So that's one of the reasons that I just don't want to have those things open, but we can definitely have those discussions later if that's okay with you.
Awesome. No, I'll take you up on that offer, because I do believe that, and this is also one of my criticisms to the DeGen, crypto DeGen world, is that everyone is excited about tokenized real world assets, right? Every report you've seen in the last 3 months from any shop came, oh, this is the size of the potential market of tokenized real world assets. And I'm also an old school, you know, banking professional. So I've come through the ranks, and then I found crypto same way as you with Bitcoin. And now we kind of live in this hybrid world where we're not fully, you know, native degen, but we are degen enough to know the difference.
I love that hybrid world word from you. I'm going to take that.
So it's interesting how the degens are excited about RWAs, but they're not as excited when the asset is money. Which to me is kind of puzzling, because, you know, assets are assets, right? And what I find most interesting about tokenization is that liabilities can also be tokenized, and they become powerful in managing financial liquidity and financial health if done right, because the friction for handling the liabilities are also reduced. One of my favorite use cases, and I want to know if you have any experience with assets on it, is collateral management. Because I, you know, coming from corporate banking, I've seen the nightmare that was a few years ago managing collateral in the world of banking. Because at times, you're, as a banker, you're going to execute on the collateral, and the collateral is stuck somewhere else. There's no full transparency. There is just a title in a drawer somewhere. And it's really hard to make sure that you can legally execute on a collateral. Now, when you tokenize it and it's sitting on chain and it's sitting on a smart contract placed as a collateral, if that gets to be executed, it just is. So there's zero friction on executing collateral. So what is your experience with Tacit, if you have any, in actually bringing that to market, and what's the response?
Collateral management is something which is, so what we call it as a structured, like, asset-backed securities, right? In terms of, you know, if you think about, a broader concept. So I answer that, see, there are a lot of, issues which traditionally a traditional finance go through, right? There is no regulatory clarity in terms of, there's always an ambiguity in regulator standards for security tokens, right? Now, Tacit has a solution for this. We have our own ERC 7518 standard, which ensuring, the compliance with evolving financial regulations. This is something which is extremely important, because this would go back to the whole, the traditional banking finance, right? Because banking regulatory clarity for security is must, right? So that is one. Then we did, because it's a new technology, there's always a technical hurdles. The complexity in, the maintaining the whole consistency between asset-backed tokens and real-world assets. These are two things. And how do we, kind of solve this? That we have our own, TPaaS as a solution, which I just told you, right? It's a low-code approach. Then there is a liquidity problem, where we have the secure connect as a solution, which I've just told you, from connecting from a sales side and a buy side. Then there is a legal framework, right? Lack of legal, recognition for tokenized property rights today. The legal structuring through special purpose vehicle to ensure legal ownership and compliance is already there. Now that's exactly what we are putting it forward as one of the compliance, right? Now, see, all of this, if you put it as a asset-backed securities, we are working on a few of the really good use cases where the commercial lender, a mortgage lender, is working with us to actually, kind of put that particular whole asset-backed securities as a mortgage on chain, issue the tokens to the investors so that, he can expedite the flow of his, mortgage-backed securities to the real-world assets. This is a very, very good use case, and we are actually making it happen. So why? Because they are pretty dominant in the US. They're like almost top 10 in the US, and they are actually working with this particular use case. I love this use case because only because, of course, it's a collateral-based. One is these real world assets. So even if it all, it's not going to go to zero, right? Because it has got a back with, the real world assets. Most of these assets are like commercial real estate, strip malls, big hotels and all that. That's something which is what my experience is up till today, but something which we are really excited to get into more, because we are talking as we speak, believe me, you know, Mauricio, there are a lot of developments that happen. Like every day we talk about, you know, different issuers. They come to it, hey, I have these assets. Can we do something like this? Can we do something? Yeah, but it boils down to the security, and security. These are securities. These are not like any ICOs or, you know, like a utility token which you're offering on a chain. This is governed by the local jurisdiction of that particular asset class. You know, so that this is very important.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple of questions that I ask for all of the guests, so I'm going to shoot them at you. One is you've been around for a while in the industry. For someone listening to us that hasn't yet kind of taken the plunge, where do they start? What is your recommendation for them? What to read, what to listen to, where to get some like education so they can start getting comfortable and actually touching the industry?
So I see this as a threefold, right? One is the people who actually have started very early like us, the people who actually started and actually executing things. So they are at the fence today. They would like to get into, you know, the space like where we are sitting, and they would like to tokenize the assets. And the third, where they just started learning about it. Now, my recommendation to you is, honestly, we have a lot of large archives on our website, tassets.com. If you start following my page, you will get every day on LinkedIn, you could actually see something really nice coming up, and which is we know that this space is evolving. So we would like to put it in a more, you know, kind of a layman's language so that people, you know, are the third category where they just got into this space, they can understand this quickly, right? And that's something which I would want them to learn. Besides this, I have a lot of other, you know, kind of archives, which I would definitely ask, you know, you to follow on, you know, Tassets website and, you know, our archive centers, because it's something which is where we put a lot of articles, our experience in dealing with issuers, like our experience in dealing with the actual issuers, like, hey, I wanted to start with the process when they started thinking about it and how it evolved and how actually the tokens have actually started trading on chain. So the whole process, we actually, you know, kind of documented it. And that is something which is really, really helpful for anybody, you know, to understand, because we know that as we speak, you know, most of these big organizations have started talking about it. Like BCG has started saying that, you know, it'll be $30 trillion market or $120 trillion market. Okay, we know that. There is always a process and learning for everything. It took us like really long, you know, to learn things, but that doesn't mean that we are, you know, we are fully learned. No, every day is learning for us. And we are learning with like people like you. I mean, you've been interviewing so many people. I'm sure you must be having so many questions, you know, and answers as well, right? I mean, I really like that, you know, to talk to you. So I think this is something which I can tell you, if at all, if you, you know, if we really insist, you know, in terms of accessing the knowledge base.
Love it. Love it. Yeah, it's important to produce content based on your experience for two reasons. One is to demystify it, because people think about crypto and blockchain. We don't, as an industry, make it any easier, right? It's jargon ridden. It's really not in our favor. So being very specific and plain English helps. And the second, which I deeply appreciate, because I was once a consultant, if you have that type of information material, then client conversations move so much faster, because they've done the homework, they know the vocabulary, and they know where things fit for them. So it's a much faster shortcut to maybe signing a deal. So that's pretty clever. Now, the second question is more philosophical. So what is the one thing that we need to fix by all means necessary, so we don't work 20 years in this industry and look in hindsight and realize that we blew this up? We should have done this one thing. What is that one thing and why?
I mean, I would definitely go back to the regulations from the compliance and regulatory perspective, I'm not an expert to comment on it, but I definitely would like to, you know, say this, that we being, you know, from the technology perspective, seeing, you know, developing the technology, making it available to everybody as a low code platform. Now, for us to really expedite the whole adoption from institutions, when we see the regulatory and compliance would actually flow it right, you know, and I'm saying this because it's not that I'm trying to, you know, make the regulators aware. But regulators are something, the regulations for security token offering is something which, you know, the it should go quite, I mean, quickly in terms of, you know, with the, because technology is moving very fast. And, you know, when technology moves fast, if the regulation keeps, you know, that particular space, I think we can drive this space like nobody's business. Because today I could see, you know, certain parts of Europe, certain parts of Gulf are actually, you know, kind of, they are very, very advanced in terms of, you know, security token offering and the regulatory and compliance is concerned. I see that is a very positive side. And I see this is, it should happen now, because we are in a space right now where the ETF is already launched, right? I mean, that's something which is already happening. Now, why not, you know, doing something for security token, which is for real world assets? Because most, this is the true democratization of the wealth, which is there with very, you know, tiny number of people actually, right? And the 90% of the people or 99% of the people would get that access if we can really make this happen. And that's exactly why it is needed today, is what I can tell you right now.
Got it. So we're approaching the end of our hour. Is there anything you want to add in terms of, you know, what you guys are doing, any events you might be attending soon, and also how people can get a hold of you and Tacit's and in our socials, you know, just let it all out.
So let me explain you, I mean, in very, very simple terms, you know, if any issuer of an asset owner would like to, you know, do real world asset tokenization, they should consider Tacit's product called TPaaS, tokenization platform as a service. And once you issue the tokens, you can get connected with the buyer side through our Secure Connect as a second product. Once your tokens are there, you can actually have a decentralized exchange on your own by taking decentralized exchange as a product from us. If you want to know more about it, you please talk to us on Tacit's, TASSETS.com. And you can follow our LinkedIn page. You can follow our, you know, X page. At the same time, you can follow us on, you know, on these various social media handles. There is a lot of content, very good content, which we, you know, kind of submit on every day, and we post every day. And the best thing is we also have developed our own ERC-7518 standard with EIP with Ethereum Foundation. And you can just go and read that, because that standard would actually have 22 more differentiators than other standards which are already there in, you know, ERC standards which are already there for real world assets. So that's basically what I can tell you right now. There's a lot of exciting stuff is moving along. We are actually doing a lot of, you know, some exciting stuff on the use cases. And whenever we do any use case, we put that use case on our social media handles. So everybody can see the biggest learning if you can do is to read a use case, just to know the technology more, right? If you read the use case, you would love it. You'd say, okay, this is something which I can understand now. Whatever we speak, if you read one use case, you will understand everything. So that's what we can tell you.
Awesome. That's exactly what we do here every week. Week in, week out, we go through use cases, and that's the best way to learn about blockchain. So Sanjeev, thank you so much for joining us. It was a real pleasure meeting you and learning from you today. Doors are always open for you and Tacit, so hope to see you next time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Catch us online. We're on Instagram at BlockDrops Podcast, on Twitter at BlockDrops Pod or Xerox Mauricio. We're on Lens at BlockDrops.Lens. We have a newsletter on LinkedIn. Write to us at BlockDropsPodcast@gmail.com. And you can listen to the Block Drops podcast at Spotify, iColab, Fabribun Tech, and all of the other major streaming platforms. Yay! Shout out to Sanjeev for sharing so much of his experience in the RWA tokenization space, and also to Shefali Sharma, who made the coordination for this episode possible. Don't forget to leave your ratings on your favorite player. This is all for today. Stay rare, stay weird. LFG.